Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today we have with us Simone Milosis. She is at the forefront of creative edge business creation and development for over two decades. In many different industries around the world, Simone has owned companies, created them, managed, and changed them, all with an enthusiasm to invite people to a different possibility. Simone is the founder of Joy of Business, mentoring business owners around the globe to create greater wealth and happiness through tools and techniques that counter their perceived limitations in business. She is the author of the book, Joy of Business, currently available in 11 languages, and has recently published her second best-selling book, Get Out of Debt Joyfully. In addition, as worldwide coordinator for Access Consciousness, Simone has significantly contributed to both the growth of Access Consciousness and its establishment in 170 countries of the last 15 years. Her target is to empower people to see how business is a source for creation. Simone has always believed that anything is possible and has desired to inspire people to choose everything they could. She says, "I grew up with the question of, imagine what you would do if you knew you could not fail. To me, you cannot fail. Failure is just the start of something new." Simone personally used the tools of Access Consciousness to go from $187,000 in debt to having a thriving business and being debt-free. She documents this journey and her learnings along the way in her two books, Joy of Business and Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. Thank you so much for joining us today, Simone.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's always so strange when someone reads your bio and I'm like, wow, I've done a lot. That's quite cool.
I know. I blush. Whenever I'm speaking in front of a group, I just kind of want to cover my face and hide in a corner. What does that say about us that it feels awkward to discuss your accomplishments?
It is. It's strange. Yeah.
That's too funny. Well, regardless, it's wonderful to have you on the show, speaking of joy and being completely fulfilled. And I'm excited to hear about your journey. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this concept of joy and seeing failure as an opportunity rather than as a detriment.
Well, I mean, it is interesting when you're reading the bio out too, Jennifer, because, and I love the title of your show, you know, it's like, and get yourself the job. Because I didn't start out like having everything that I, you know, desired to create there. It's like, I pretty much started out, finished high school, wanted to travel so badly. Like, that's all I desired to do. And Australia's a little different to America. It's like, if you don't go to college, it's not considered this bad, awful, terrible thing. You know, like in America, it's like, you know, all you can do is get a job at McDonald's sort of thing. Well, I left as soon as I left school, and I went, I actually went straight to America and traveled around America and traveled around the world and just kept sort of living my life. I wanted to have this adventure and I wanted to travel, and I also desired to have my own business. Now, people used to say to me, what do you want to do? Like, what sort of business? And I didn't have much of a point of view. I just knew it was something that was so creative and I could put all of my creative capacities into something that I could get out there into the world that would bring me money. Now, throughout, I've worked in so many different jobs and so many different industries. And it is one thing that I would really like to say to everyone too. It's like, don't judge yourself for what you're choosing. Like, I went from job to job to job. And people would say that I couldn't make up my mind. Mm. And I was just actually having the thrill and the excitement of doing it all. But one of the things I realized really early on, Jennifer, is a friend of mine used to say to me, you make me sick how much job satisfaction you get. I remember in this bar in Sydney, Australia, and I was like, really? And I was like, you don't love what you do? And he was like, no. He said, Simone, hardly anyone does. And I was like, really? Why would you do it?
I agree.
And that's the moment I realized that I was different. Yeah.
What a crazy
concept. Yeah, well, you're doing what you love.
Yeah, and I think it's something that when you and I are sitting here talking about this concept of doing what we love, I think that there's a little voice in a lot of people's heads that says, well, sure, that's easy for them to say, but it's not possible for me. That's impossible, right? We've all had that little voice, and I'm sure you and I even had it at one point or another in our heads telling us we couldn't, or we weren't smart enough or well-trained enough to do what we really were passionate about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I didn't go to college. I didn't go get a business degree, you know, and I've written a book on business. And trust me, when I was releasing that book, I was having every reason and justification to not release it because I was thinking, what right do I have to write this book on business? And then when I spoke to a few friends and I realized, you know what, I have a joy of business and that's different. I'm not saying I've got all these letters after my name and that I have a degree in business. What I'm saying is, I think it's one of the most funnest things in the world and the most creative, and you should be able to get out there and do exactly what you desire. And I guess there's a lot of projections, like there's a lot of people who, you know, will judge you for what you are not creating. Mm. And you've got to get out there and choose what it is that brings you joy, and it's amazing to see what can show up.
So how do you do that? Say that you're somebody listening out there and you're steeped in frustration, sadness, you have kids you might need to provide for, or parents who are aging, and that dream thing that they want to do, maybe it's knitting or working with animals, but given that they have obligations, that's not even within their realm of possibility. How do you shift that consciousness?
So the first thing I would suggest, and, you know, it's old school, is get a notebook or something like that, or use your phone. I mean, most people use their phone to write notes nowadays. And start a page on it that is everything that you love to do. Everything that you love to do. And I'm not saying, money hasn't come into it yet. It's like, what do you love to do? What is fun for you? And start writing that down and keep writing it down, and don't choose anything for the first 3 days. It's like, keep writing it down, keep looking at it. And then once you've developed this list, like it could be baking cookies. It could be, you know, walking my dog. It's like, you know, it could be being on the phone, talking to people, or bookkeeping or filing. It could be anything. And write it down and start to look at the list after about 3 days to a week and ask, okay, so which of these could I start today that I could make money from? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, you think that you have to go out there and get, you know, this 9-to-5 job, etc. And the world has changed so much. It's like, you don't have to do the 9-to-5, you know, corporate job, etc. to be, you know, accepted or make lots of money. There's a zillion things you can do. For example, a friend of mine, she lived in Santa Barbara, California, loves dogs. And she was not working with animals, but she loves dogs and loves, you know, working with dogs. She had two of them, and she used to go to the beach and take them for a walk. And then one day someone said to her, you know, hey, I know you go to the beach all the time. Do you reckon you could take my dog? Because I'm off to work early in the morning, you know, and I can pay you to do it. And she was like, sure. Before she knew it, she was, if you've seen those photos, you know, the people have two hands filled with different leads, and she had like, you know, 6 or 8 dogs on each hand, and twice a day she'd go walk different people's dogs and created a business from it. She ended up hiring somebody else to help her out because she had that much business coming her way. And that was literally from just doing something that found her joy.
That's extraordinary. I think that's so true. Is there are so many opportunities out there that we take for granted that somebody out there is getting paid to do that thing that you love, like walking a dog. You know, it doesn't even occur to you that that's a viable business, and I bet it's still thriving, and she gets to do what she loves and gets paid for it.
She's actually sold it now.
No way.
And moved on.
That's
incredible.
She's
doing other things, but she sold the business and she made her, you know, a great profit at it. But I had this other friend, I actually lived in Santa Barbara for a little while, so I knew a few people there. And I had this other friend of mine who, she was a beautician, and she was a single mum with 2 boys. She was fully supporting the 2 boys, like the father wasn't present. And she fell down a hole in Santa Barbara and hurt her knee, and she couldn't work. She did massages, a masseuse and beautician. And she couldn't work, and she was so stressed out because she had to, you know, support her 2 boys. So I did this with her and said, okay, please, like, have a look at what you love to do. And one of the things she loved to do was driving, which I find hysterical coming from Australia, especially in California, with, like, a billion lanes, you know, down the highways. And I'm like, you like driving on this? She's like, I love it. I put my, you know, 80s music on and I, you know, sing out loud and I love it. And I said, okay, so what if you could make money from that? And she was like, what do you mean? And because I travel a lot, I was going from Santa Barbara to LA and I was hiring a driver to pick me up because by the time I flew from Australia, I was exhausted. So I'd pay a driver to come pick me up in LA and take me to Santa Barbara. And I said, what if I started hiring you? She's like, really? And I was like, yeah. So I did. And then she ended up picking up some more customers doing that. So it was something that she loved, but she never thought she could make money from it. And usually what you love doing, you think is useless because you think everybody else can do it and that there's no way you can make money from it. But most of the time, it's actually the easiest way for you to make money.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I love what you and I were talking about the other day about money follows joy and joy doesn't follow money. I was just sharing somebody with someone the other day your quote about that, because I think that we all have it backwards in our minds. We think, oh, if I make enough money, maybe that will finally equate to me being happy. And as you and I started to discuss the other day, it's the exact opposite of that. So how do people generate, how do you start with joy? I think that's the thing, is that we look for money to create the joy. But how is it that joy automatically is going to create money? How does that happen? How can that happen?
Well, it's a good question. Yeah, and I loved our chat the other day, because people can wake up and just choose to be happy. And yet they use the justification of, I don't have money, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have, in order to choose unhappiness. Whereas money doesn't make you happy.
Right.
You make you happy. And it's the same thing. I mean, money can get you a lot. Like, you know, money can buy you, you know, nice silk sheets to sleep on. It can buy you business class. It can buy you diamonds and pearls, you know, a nice house. It can do that. But you are the one that essentially chooses to be happy or not happy. But with the, what I'm looking at is, if you're actually doing what you love, usually money ends up showing up. But if you're making money the source of creation, which so many people do, money the source of creation instead of you as the source of creation, because money doesn't create anything. Money just sits there. You get a bunch of money and put it on the ground, it's not going to do anything. You're the one that actually picks up the money and starts creating with it. You are the source of creation. And most people look at the amount of money they don't have and ponder on that and, you know, do the trauma and drama on that rather than actually looking at what they could create. So I would say it's like, you've got to put this into practice. If you start doing what you love and start being joyful about, you know, what you are creating, and then see if money starts to show up. It occurs my whole life. And I've got to say, as I mentioned before, you know, I went from job to job, industry to industry. But for me, it was about the fun of it. I've worked in so many different industries and I love to see how they functioned and how they created. And then I was like, I'm done. And I would leave and I would go and do something else. You know, same thing with relationships. I was like, you know, fleeing from one to the other. So most of the time, especially my family, sort of projected and judged me for, you know, she'll be happy when she finds the one and when she finally settles down and finds a good, safe job. I'm like, why do I want a good, safe job? Why do I want to settle down? Like, I'm actually happy, you know, traveling across the world, doing what I love to do, and money starts to show up.
I think that's such
and,
a great
you know, one
point.
Of the things you can look at. Sorry, go on, Jennifer.
Oh, no, you were going to say one of the things that you would recommend looking at?
Well, one of the things that, this is one of the things I talk about in my book, which I love the analogy of it, is if you were going to have a party and you say, okay, Jennifer, you want to come to my party? It's going to be, you know, I'm not going to be very happy. I'm probably going to yell at you when you walk in. There's going to be no music. There'll be no food, no drink. And it's like, and there'll be really cranky and angry people there. Would you like to come? And you're like, no thanks. But that's what we do to money all the time. We complain about everything all the time. We abuse it when it comes in, and then we wonder why it doesn't want to show up. Whereas if you create that energy, and which it is an energy, it's the energy of like joy of, hey, Jennifer, you want to come to this party? It's like there'll be some great music, great people, you know, great food, great drinks. And it's like, you know, come and have some fun. And it's like, we don't invite money to that party of joy and fun. We invite it to the party of misery. And we wonder why it doesn't want to show up.
Yeah, you're so right, because we all spend, I hear it all the time on the job hunting front, of people complaining. They either complain about how they're underpaid or how Bob or Sue or Sally is making more or less and it's unfair. And I think there's this conversation that exists in our culture about how unfair it is about the haves and the have-nots rather than being grateful. I think gratitude can just start to open up joy and other wonderful elements that can then become available to you.
Yeah, from gratitude, you're so right. From gratitude, there's so much more that can get created. It's like if you're not grateful for what you have today, you'll never create a future.
It's so true.
You've got to start being grateful for what you have today.
Yeah, I remember years ago, there was something like 365 days of gratitude that was a project somebody started on Instagram. And I kind of laughed it off at first.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
Ha, ha, ha. And I started doing it. And so once a day, I would just write down one thing that I was grateful for. And then 420 days later, I had done it a whole year. And I thought, wow, what if I wrote down 10 things I was grateful for a day? And it just started to shift my perspective. Because when you look for all of the miracles and abundance and prosperity in your life that you might take for granted, then all of a sudden auspicious circumstances begin to show up. And I think it was actually Gary Douglas from your company who had given the example of somebody walking out of one of his classes and saying, oh, there's a dime. How can it get any better than this? And then she goes on to find $10. How can it get any better than this? But I think the lesson in that story is most of us would come across a dime and we would turn our noses up at it and laugh and say, I don't need a dime. What's a dime good for? But that person in that situation said, oh my gosh, how can it get any better than this? I just found a dime. And then next thing you know, it was $10 or a diamond bracelet or whatever it might be. And I think that if we bring that consciousness to it, that you teach at Access Consciousness, it shifts the parameters of what we can perceive as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jennifer. And it's like, I mean, even you just talking about gratitude now, it's like I can even perceive like the molecules in my body like being grateful that we're talking about gratitude. And that's how it works.
It is.
It's true. It's like, that's how it works. It's like when you start talking about it, it's like, oh yeah, the sense of peace.
Yeah, you feel it almost from your heart, and you feel rather than having all of that judgment, resentment, bitterness for what you don't have and that lack in consideration that you have, it opens up. It opens up space. I would actually say that I would go so far as to say that it creates a space that you didn't have available that was maybe cluttered before with things like anger, resentment, bitterness, and frustration. And the moment that you find something you're grateful for, this itty bitty little space opens up, and then you find something else, and then another bigger space opens up until all of a sudden you're surrounded by gratitude.
Yeah. And it's like to live the life that you desire to live, it is being in a constant state of joy and gratitude. And even for like yesterday, Jennifer, I was having this really weird, funky day. And it was like, I was just like, like one of those days. I ended up actually doing a podcast on it because, you know, everyone always talks about these, how life is so great and everything turns out. And I was like, sometimes it's a bit hard. Like sometimes you're like, this is not showing up the way I thought it was going to show up. So I spoke about that. But one of the things is enjoy it as well. Like if you're cranky and angry, if you're going to choose to be cranky and angry, enjoy it. It's like, have fun with it, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm really frustrated and I'm angry today. It's like, enjoy it knowing that you can choose to change it, because you can choose to change your, you know, state of mind, your state of being at any moment of the day. It doesn't have to be based on what is happening in the world today. It doesn't have to be based on what is happening around you with your friends, your family, etc. And which brings you back to your choices for, you know, getting yourself the job you love, like doing what you love to do so that you can actually create money and joy and gratitude coming into your life. And I know that there's people out there who might be listening to it thinking, yeah, yeah, that's fine for them. But, you know, I didn't start out like this. And it's like you had to, you know, I don't want to say fight. It's like have the courage to keep choosing what I desire to choose, even when other people thought I was crazy.
Hmm. I love that word.
And that's
courage.
What I think you have to be willing to do too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so brilliant because it is.
I mean, going overseas,
it is. Yeah, go ahead, you were going to say, going overseas, that was probably a very courageous choice for you.
Well, it's like, yeah, 19, like most people were like, you know, going into a flat. I mean, my first flat, my first moving out of home was London, and I'm from Australia. I just so desired to see the world, and it was courageous. And I told everyone that I was going for 6 months, and I ended up staying overseas for 3 years. So I just loved it, traveling around and working and doing different things. You know, I mean, I was, and one of those jobs I had was in the Greek islands, being what you call a kamaki. You stand outside a restaurant, you know, saying, "Hey, would you like to eat at Captain Angelo's tonight? We've got a free glass of wine." And, you know, I made enough to have one meal a day and pay for my accommodation. And I had a great time in the Greek islands for a month. You know, so what is it that you would love to do that would be fun for you that you're not choosing because you've decided that there's some fear, and fear is not real. If you look at fear every time you perceive the energy of fear, what I would like to ask your listeners is to stop and ask, okay, is this fear or is this excitement? Because most of the time when we think we have fear, it's actually excitement. We just don't know what it's going to look like. Mm. Like when you're going on a big, massive roller coaster or something as a kid, you're looking at it going, oh my goodness. You know, and you misidentify. All it takes is that one moment when you're 10 years old, you misidentify that energy as fear, and your whole life, that same energy, which is excitement, you're looking at it going, what's this going to be like? And you misidentify that energy as fear, and then everything that comes up that matches that energy, you've decided is fear. And what if it wasn't? What if it was just excitement and the thrill of living?
Such a great point. I was just talking to a friend of mine recently who, you know, she has a good job, and her husband was out of work, and he had a pretty high-level job and was out of work for 4 years, and only recently in the last year got back employed, and they have two children. And it's her passion to want to work part-time to spend more time with their kids since they're relatively young, I think 5 and 7. And she was confessing all of her quote-unquote fears to me the other day, saying, "Jen, I just don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm ready, and what if my husband loses his job again, and then where is that going to leave us?" And I think we make up these stories in our head about how horribly awful it's all going to turn out until it's kind of explodes into this dark looming cloud that's hanging over us, that we're just waiting for it to pour down thunder and lightning on us. But if we could actually just say, huh, what if I could take that instead? And what if I could think about the future in a positive way? What if I could write down my intentions or what I would love my life to look like and put my energy and attention on that rather than what I fear, dread, worry, or don't want to happen, which is what we put a lot of our time and attention into and often gives us exactly that because that's what we're focusing our thoughts and words on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I totally agree. And what I would like to throw in there too is how often do people create the trauma and drama and the crap showing up in their life because they've decided that that's the route that it's going to go? Like, oh, what if my husband loses his job again? So you think about that so much that you create that as a reality rather than you don't know what's going to show up. It's like you can ask for, you know, ask for what you desire to show up and then keep choosing. I mean, one of the things we talk about in Access Consciousness is choosing in 10-second increments. So it's like this 10 seconds, what am I going to choose? The next 10 seconds, what am I going to choose? And the basis of it is that each choice you make creates a different possibility. And then you have another choice that creates a different possibility. But the second you make a choice and turn it into a decision, it's like it's locked in. So then there's a whole lot of judgments, limitations, et cetera, that get created around this locked-in decision rather than choosing something and being able to choose again. I mean, if you look at relationships, it's like, you know, I don't think I know anyone who, you know, got married or ended up with the first person that they kissed.
Right.
Like, you know, you kiss someone, you choose again, and then you choose again, and you choose again, and you choose again. It's like you're like, oh, that was an interesting choice I made, and that choice isn't working for me anymore, so let's choose again. What if you did that with your whole entire life? What if you did that with business? And practice going somewhere you've never been before, because you identify as soon as you walk out your front door that you know what's there because you've been there and done it before. Oh, here's the garden, here's the car, here's the neighbor, etc. What if you went somewhere this weekend that you've never been before? And what if that was living? Like, it could even be a restaurant. It could be, you know, a new city or a new town, or, you know, just an entirely different mall, or it could be a new country, anything. But practice going somewhere that you've never been before and enjoying the adventure of it, because that's what your life is. And yet we try and work it out so much that you can't work it out. Nothing ever shows up the way you think it's going to show up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I remember there was once an exercise just talking about getting out of your comfort zone in a personal development class I was in, where they actually asked us to go home or to a hotel room. It was at a seminar. And so they said, I want you to get on your hands and knees, and I want you to explore the room from that perspective. Now, to a lot of listeners out there, that may sound asinine. You're thinking, my God, that what a crazy idea. Why in God's name would you want to do that? But when you do, it actually shifted your perspective. It was like having an adventure, and you got to discover a whole different aspect of any room in your house or of that hotel room that you would have never otherwise discovered if you had always stayed at your standing or sitting level, and it was just something to play with.
Exactly. And that's what it should be, something to play with.
Yeah.
Like, discover life so that you can actually live.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing, too, that I think is important for our listeners to know that you and I talked about is that there's a balancing being accountable and being reckless, because you and I are on the same page. If it were up to me, I would spend every day of the rest of my life traveling and off on some fun adventure. And I would only do that if I had the resources necessary where it wouldn't harm myself or others, and I had a plan in place. And I know that you wrote that great book about getting out of debt. I think that's something important that I want to touch on, because how do you create an extraordinary life without getting into gobs of debt, or without causing harm to, say, your partners or your children or your parents or other people who might be counting on you? How do you balance those two?
Yeah, well, I've definitely, you know, been there, done that. I created the financial mess. And, you know, at one stage, I knew I was in debt, and I didn't know how much. And it was sort of like, oh, if I don't look at it, maybe it'll go away. Yes, I definitely had that point of view, that I've met so many people that have that point of view. And when finally I realized, you know what, no one is going to change this. I have to be the one that changes it. I have to be the one that looks at this. So I sat down in my office and I got everything I had, you know, all my, you know, invoices, bills, looked at my bank account, and I sat there and I looked at all of it, and I realized that I was $187,000 in debt, Australian dollars. And I was like, whoa, okay. Now, for about 30 minutes, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do to change this? Now, I was lucky enough that I was involved in Access Consciousness. And the funny thing is, I'd listened to Gary Douglas and Dane here talk about using these tools to change any area of your life that you think is not working for you. And I used them in all these different areas of my life, and they were working. And I was like, this is great. This is everything that I sort of knew was possible using these Access tools. But I didn't use them with money. I refused to use them with money. And then after like the third or fourth time I heard them talk about it, I sat there and thought, this is crazy. I'm like ignoring these tools on money, and I've got all this debt. So what if I actually started to look at this? So I started to use some of the tools of Access Consciousness with money. And that's all in my book, Getting Out of Debt Joyfully, How I Changed It All. And the first thing, number one, is changing your point of view. Definitely change your point of view around money, because you, whatever your point of view is, that's the reality you will create. Now, one of the things which I still use to this day, and that is being aware of your finances. And I mean, I was just talking to my partner, Brendan, last night. It's time for us to have a look at that and do it again, because your life changes. And this is what I recommend. You get an Excel spreadsheet. If you don't know how to use Excel, get a piece of paper, whatever works for you. I just love an Excel spreadsheet. And write down everything that it costs to run your life. And I'm talking, you know, rent, mortgage, you know, school fees, you know, food shopping, clothes shopping, if you like to get a pedicure and a manicure, like whatever it is that you like to do as your life. It's not a budget, because a budget always has this sort of energy to it that it's, you've got to cut things out. I'm looking at, what would you like your life to be like? Like, do you want to go to a nice restaurant once a week? Do you want to drink more expensive champagne than cheaper champagne? Like, what is it you would like your life to look like? And then get that amount. And at the end, and if you, what I recommend is get a profit and loss statement if you can for 12 months and then divide it by 12. Because some people, you might look at your car maintenance and think, oh, well, it's 150 in petrol, you know, in gas a month. But you haven't looked at, oh, I need to get my tires changed or get it serviced. So then you get, it ends up being $220 a month that you require for that. So it gives you more of a realistic point of view of how much it costs to run your life. So you get that information and you add it up and there's a total. Now, what I also want you to do is get, because one of the tools we talk about, which this definitely helped me get out of debt, is putting 10% away of everything you earn that is just for you. So it's not for a rainy day. It's not to buy a new car. It's not to, you know, buy a house or anything. It's literally just putting the money away. So some people I know have got it in cash. It's like I've got it in a bank account and I watch it grow. And it's a 10%. I call it my honor account. It's an honoring of me. And this made no sense when I first started doing it either. It was like, really? I'm putting 10% away and I owe all this money? So, but I was like, well, everything else I've been doing hasn't worked. So what if I just gave this a go? So I did. I put, and I thought, I'll do it for 3 months and see what happens. And I noticed that my energy around money, my point of view was changing. And I sort of had this sense of having money because I had money in the bank account. So putting, so once you get your total amount, creating your financial reality, add 10%, and then I always add another 20% because why not? There's always something else that shows up. And look at that amount that you have to earn each month to create the life that you desire. Now, I can pretty much guarantee you that most of you who do this, who choose to do it, because most of you won't, will be gobsmacked by what you get. I remember the first time I did it and it was $8,000 a month. And I was like, wow, how am I ever going to make $8,000 a month? Within 3 months, I was making $8,000 a month. Now, my expenses are way higher. That was many, many years ago now. And my life has changed. You know, I have a partner, I have a child, I have a dog, I have a house, I have investment properties, I have all of this stuff. So then my expenses have gone up. So what I need to create each month has, is going up as well. But what this creates, and I recommend doing it every 6 months, is you become more aware of your financial reality. And like you were saying, Jennifer, you know, if you want to jump on a plane and go somewhere, what's it going to cost you? Like, we end up putting in our financial each month what we require for Christmas, because we realized Christmas was costing us a small fortune. We kept choosing to go away somewhere different and, you know, spend lots of money. So it was like, all right, let's put it into our monthly amount that we need to make to have a great time at Christmas. But all this is about is you becoming aware of your finances. Because if you're not aware of your finances, you can't change anything. If you choose to ignore it, then you're going to ignore it and it will not go away. You won't create anything greater. So it's not about judging anything. It's about creating awareness.
I think that's great advice. I am 100% with you and on board with that idea of looking at what is it that you need, not just to survive, because I remember somebody once said, you know, I asked the universe for a penny and it gave me a penny or whatever that old cliche was. But if you ask the universe for $1 million or $8,000 a month, believe it or not, the universe will give you exactly what you want. But most of us are terrified to ask for what we want. And it's coupled with doing the work that it takes to get there. You have to have integrity and you have to be willing to do the work necessary to have financial independence and to be able to be successful, whether it's working for somebody else, owning your own company, whatever that looks like for you. But it's about being courageous, taking it back to courage, and looking, once you have all those numbers in front of you, is what does that look like and what sort of action plan do I need to make that possible, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's the difference between people, like you said, you know, you hear people say, oh, I wish I had $1 million. And it's like, well, wishing it is not going to create it. Instead, what if you woke up in the morning and said, okay, what's it going to take to create $1 million showing up in my life? What action do I need to take to physically actualize this? And do that. And do whatever shows up. And follow that energy. And that's the 10 seconds. It's like, I mean, a lady I worked with in New Zealand years ago, she wanted to work in the film industry. And, you know, she was looking at different things about, you know, how to go about that. And I said, look, take whatever job comes along that matches the energy of what you're asking for. And, I mean, this was years ago. She ended up getting a job in a video shop, which I think are extinct now.
They are.
But she got a job in a video shop and she's like, this doesn't make any sense. But she's like, it sort of matches the energy. So she was willing to play with this and she did. Now, she was working in this video shop in Auckland, New Zealand, and it just happened to be one of a producer that, you know, is based in New Zealand, his local video shop. So she met him, and he kept coming in and choosing movies, etc., to watch. And so she met him and ended up chatting to him. Within 3 months, she ended up working with his company.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and went from there. So, but she would never have had the opportunity to meet him if she hadn't taken that job in the video shop. Well, she might have, but, you know, it was so fun to see how this sort of eventuated from the action that she took from, you know, working in a video shop. I mean, she used to joke saying, you know, yeah, living the dream. You know? It was like, but it led to something greater.
Yeah, you just have to put yourself out there. I think I loved what you started off by saying, which is courage. It takes courage to choose differently. It takes courage to do something brash and to do something that inspires you and brings passion and joy to your heart, to your mind, to your spirit, and not to allow the fears to stop you and to be responsible and accountable without, you know, being... putting yourself or others in irreparable financial damaging situations. I think it's balancing that. I think it's having the desire coupled by the plan and the know-how that's going to lead to success. And it sounds like both of your books are going to be great resources for that.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've had a lot of people around the world that have been very grateful for it. So I'm grateful that I decided to do it and put it out there. Like, that made that choice to do that, because I can see people's lives changing from the tools that they, you know, are choosing to use, to having the courage to use and create the life they'd like to have.
I love it. So again, your two books are Joy of Business and Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. I believe your website again is at accessjoyofbusiness.com. Is that right?
accessjoyofbusiness.com, and also you can go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com, and both books are available on Amazon too.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, Simone, it has been such a pleasure to have you on today. And I think that especially right around the holidays, it's perfect timing to start playing with how could Christmas or how could Thanksgiving or whatever holiday you might be celebrating around the world, how could it be even more extraordinary? And how can you begin to look at 2018 and design and invent the life that you want responsibly and passionately? So thank you so much for joining us. And as always, we invite our listeners to find us on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Please don't hesitate to rate us, leave us comments. We always appreciate your feedback. Or you can also find us on the Get Yourself the Job Facebook page or on the archive of the LA Talk Radio website. So thank you so much again, Simone, for joining us today, and happy holidays to everybody out there.
Thank you, Jennifer. Happy holidays, everyone.
All right, take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.